Imagine being rejected by someone, but later on, being in the position to help that person. How would you feel about that? How would you respond? Situations like that are an opportunity for God's grace to shine against a backdrop of human failure. Jephthah was rejected by his own people and had no reason to help them. Yet God surprisingly chose Jephthah to deliver those very same people. Learn more today in this lesson called Surprising Grace.
Following the death of Gideon's son, Abimelech, God reminds Israel that it isn't his plan for them to have an earthly king, at least at this time. In fact, after Abimelech's death, Israel is going to experience several decades of peace under the leadership of two different judges. Now here in Judges chapter 10 and verse 1, we're introduced to Tola. He's from the tribe of Issachar, and he's going to serve as judge for 23 years. We're also told that Tola arose to save Israel. And that indicates some kind of military victory, although we're not given the details here in the text. Now in verse 3, Jair takes the reign of leadership, and he's from Gilead, east of the Jordan River, and for 22 years, he will lead Israel. We're told here in verse 4, he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys, and they ruled 30 cities. Now, this would be like saying today that Jair has 30 sons who drove 33 Rolls Royces, and they were the mayors of 30 cities. This is a wealthy, powerful family. The good news is there's no mention of any rebellion in Israel during this time. God in his grace has sent these two men to lead Israel, and God gives the nation peace and stability. But wouldn't you know it? Here comes that old cycle of sin and rebellion all over again following the death of Jair. We read these familiar words beginning in verse 6. The people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth, that's his mistress, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. They forsook the Lord and did not serve him. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Philistines and into the hands of the Ammonites. Now, the Philistines and the Ammonites will oppress Israel for 18 years until they finally cry out in repentance to the Lord. But here the Lord gives them the cold shoulder. Verse 13 says, "You have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will save you no more. Go and cry out to the gods whom you've chosen. Let them save you in the time of your distress." The people, you know, respond to the Lord, "Well, we have sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you." Verse 16 says, they put away the foreign gods from among them and serve the Lord. And by that action, we can determine they were genuinely confessing their sin. False confession, by the way, tells God what he ought to do. Genuine confession submits to whatever God decides to do. False confession keeps on sinning. True confession results in turning away from sin. So when they turn back to the Lord, in his grace, God sends them a new judge to lead them out of trouble. His name here is Jephthah. He's going to become one of the most colorful, outspoken, unlikely of all of Israel's judges. In fact, his resume is a testimony to God's grace. And I believe this is what God is going to highlight here in these next few chapters. Chapter 11 opens with this background. Now, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty warrior, but he was the son of a prostitute. Gilead was the father of Jephthah, and Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." This introduction is enough to make any self-righteous Israelite shudder. I mean, surely there's no way God's going to choose this kind of man to lead Israel. As far as I can count, he's got at least three strikes against him. Strike number one, he's the illegitimate son of a prostitute. His father, Gilead, was an unfaithful Jewish man. He pays a dear price for his sin. Jephthah has difficulty living this down. Strike number two, he's rejected by his family. His half-brothers hate him, don't want him in the inheritance. And I can imagine Gilead's wife probably resents him as well, and their home certainly seems to be a battleground. We know that because a little later on, when his half-brothers drive him away from home, his father doesn't even step up to offer him any support. Here in verse 7, we realize that even the elders of Israel are involved in wanting Jephthah to leave town. He's an embarrassment to this leading family. He's an embarrassment to the entire Jewish community. And with that, Jephthah is essentially run out of town. Verse 3 tells us, "Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob, and worthless fellows collected around Jephthah and went out with him." The Hebrew word for worthless doesn't mean poor or uneducated. It means unprofitable. Now, evidently, Jephthah surrounds himself with some young men from the back alleys of life. And that leads me to strike number three. Jephthah is essentially a gang leader. This region of Tob was a gathering place for criminals on the run. Well, Jephthah's unloved. He's unwanted by everyone except other young men who are also unloved and unwanted. He'd grown up being told he was worthless. So guess what? He makes his home with other young men who were probably told the same lie. And let me tell you something about the grace of God. God is not limited by a shady past or sinful parents or social standing. When God chooses Jephthah, this is his way of telling you that nobody needs to be a prisoner of their past. No matter how many strikes you have against you, God's grace can wipe the slate clean. The Apostle Paul put it this way, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus," Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now, I want to show you what happens next. The elders from Gilead are desperate for a courageous leader. So they hop on a stagecoach and they ride out to Tob, and they say to Jephthah here in verse 6, "Come and be our leader that we may fight against the Ammonites." Now, wait a second. These are the same guys who kicked Jephthah out of town. And he responds here in verse 7, "Did you not hate me and drive me out of my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" Amazingly, here in verse 9, Jephthah says, "Well, if you bring me home again to fight against the Ammonites and the Lord gives them over to me, I will be your leader." By the way, don't miss the fact that he understands that God will be the one giving him the victory. But wow, look here. He chooses to help those who had refused to help him. I think his gang members probably think he's lost his mind. Besides, you know, how in the world can Jephthah forgive these elders, forgive his family, forgive this nation for the pain they've caused him? Well, we're actually given the answer here in verse 11. "So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and leader over them." Here's the answer. "And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord at Mizpah." Although everyone had abandoned him, Jephthah knew God had not. Somehow, through all of his personal suffering, he knew that wherever he was, whatever he was, God had not forgotten him. Look, no matter who you are, no matter what your past is, no matter how desperate, no matter how sinful, Jesus Christ died for you. And by his grace, when you turn to him in faith, he'll not only forgive you and save you, he will empower you to serve him. He's going to enable you to move beyond your past and say, essentially with Jephthah here, "Well, if God does something in and through my life, it will be for one reason, to demonstrate God's amazing grace. Well, until our next wisdom journey together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was lesson 103 in our wisdom journey through God's Word. The next time you're in a position to help someone who previously rejected you, I hope you'll remember the example of Jephthah. It's certainly not easy, but what a tremendous opportunity to reflect the grace of God. If you'd like to watch the video version of this lesson, you'll find it at wisdomonline.org. Join us again next time on the Wisdom Journey.